So in Maurice Sendak's book, Where the Wild Things Are, Max travels to the land of the wild things. I just want to look at the boundaries in this book first, because if you notice, the boundaries start off very big, and the pictures are very small in this book. But as Max travels, as he starts in his room, and his room changes to the land of the wild things, you'll notice the boundaries getting smaller and smaller until eventually they get so small when he's the king of the wild things that they don't exist at all when they start the wild rumpus. But then as Max gets lonely, the pictures get a bit smaller, and the boundaries get a bit larger, until he heads back across the sea and is home. But if you notice, even after he returns home, this picture, Max's little world, has gotten a bit larger than it was at the very beginning of the book. This is why wilderness is so important, because it expands our world. It stretches those boundaries that we may have, those definitions that we may hold on to. It pushes and pulls against them. This is why we need wilderness, because if everything is clean and precise and planned and safe and secure, then our worlds stay very, very small. The Inuit tell of a young woman who's commonly named Sedna. Has anyone heard of Sedna before? She has other names as well, but commonly it's Sedna. And she comes from an oral tradition, so there's different stories out there, but some of the general senses of this story are the same. Sedna, for some reason, was with her father out on a kayak. Now, it could be that they were being chased by a raven who was causing massive storms around them. Or it could be that the family was starving and there were just too many mouths to feed. Whatever it was, he took her out on the kayak and then threw her overboard. And Sedna, she clawed at the kayak, trying to pull herself back up. And her father took a hatchet and chopped off her fingers. And at the first knuckle, where he cut her, well, those became the harp seals, or the ring seals. And she kept clawing, and the second set of knuckles fell into the ocean, and they became the harp seals, which are bigger, I think. And then the last set of knuckles, they became the bowhead whales. And with that, she sank into the deep, her hair twisting and churning in the waves as she became the goddess of the sea. And the Inuit would say that in times of difficult hunting, when game was harder to find, it was because the animals were all caught up in her hair, which she couldn't comb because she had no fingers. And so the animals would all get caught up in her hair. And when that happened, they would tickle her forehead. And that would send her into a rage. And her rage would cause the seas to be violent and cause there to be tremendous storms. Now, among the Inuit, there were also shaman. And these were men and women who could travel to other realms, who could push beyond the boundaries of this world. They could go up and they could attend to the stars, or they could go down into the depths of the ocean. And when difficult times would come, the shaman would travel to Sedna and offer relief. They would calm her, they would court her, they would comb her hair, though, so that her little children could be free. And so in a world where the sea was the source of life, the source of food, she remained an intimidating and haunting presence who was generous and yet was absolutely wild. And it was the shaman who would travel to her, travel to that wild and numinous place where the goddesses lived and raged, before coming back to the world of humans to share their wisdom and their authority and bringing back with them good food for hunting. This is the other aspect of traveling to the wilderness. Not only do we ourselves get changed by our travels, but we bring something back for the world. We bring back some piece of that sacred that we've met while we were out exploring. Joseph Campbell calls this the boon that we bring back. Now, of course, when I'm talking about the wild, this can be interpreted literally. It has all those important challenges to us. It can stretch us, it can push us, it can expand our worlds and our understanding of things. And this is why it's so important to maintain the wilderness in our natural world and also to commune with it. It teaches us about life and death, about struggle and triumph and failure. It offers us a space of tremendous awe around the incomprehensible. This is the importance of the wilderness. And it would be easy to end the sermon there in this season of creation. The gospel reading for today, in that gospel reading, Jesus makes a similar journey. He heads out into the wilderness, out into the desert. At the very beginning of Mark, actually at the beginning of all three Synoptic Gospels, he's taken out into the wilderness, into the place beyond our understanding, the place beyond our control. He goes to the unknown, to the desert filled with beasts and angels and devils. And it's only after his time in the desert, after his time in the wilderness, that he's able to come back and begin his ministry to the world. But the life and the teaching of Christ, the way he shares that journey of venturing into the wilderness, what he brings back from this time in the desert, isn't limited to the actual desert, to the literal and natural world. Jesus invites in his ministry, invites us to a spiritual wilderness, a mental wilderness, a social wilderness. Wilderness can be any place where we're taken out of our comfort zone. Be any place where we're taken out of our security, where those habits that we've formed to help us feel safe, those habits that we've formed to help us survive in the world, any place that those no longer apply, that they're no longer effective as they once were. Anywhere that the control our egos have over us is lessened. The wilderness can be out in the wild, somewhere way up north, or in the desert, or out on the ocean, or wherever. The wilderness can also be a space of inner exploration of our shadow sides, of those parts of ourselves, those parts of our minds, our hearts that we maybe feel shame over. Maybe we're embarrassed about, but nevertheless are woven into our very being. We can make that inner wilderness trip. The wilderness can also be a social wilderness, and this is greatly emphasized in the Gospels. It can be an urban wilderness, building relationships with people who stretch us beyond our understanding of how things work, of how the world is supposed to be, how civilization should be. I use immigration as an example. There's a reason why polls show that those who oppose immigration live in areas where there's little immigration, predominantly, or consist of people with little interaction with immigrants, because their wilderness hasn't been stretched. They haven't encountered that world beyond what is familiar. It can be meeting and relating to people from far, far away, or it can be meeting and relating to people who are right outside our doors and yet who live so differently from us as to be almost incomprehensible, and whose very lives in many ways challenge our own habits, our own understandings of the way things ought to be, the way the world actually works. This is why Christ spends so much time in the Gospels inviting us to relate to the outcast, to the oppressed, to the people on the margins, because it's on those margins where our lives, where our worlds, where our minds, where our hearts, where our very souls are expanded and stretched and pushed and pulled. We can't just say, I want my mind to be stretched, and then push really hard. It doesn't work like that. We have to go to those places, go to those people, go to those situations, go to that wilderness, for lack of a better imagery, where that's going to happen. The call of Christ is a call to the wilderness. It's a literal or figurative wilderness. It's a call to a place, to relationships which are outside the norm, outside where we might view as safe and secure, but it's a call to something bigger than our small minds can understand if they stay in one place. Ultimately, it's a call of growth. The image that I leave you with this week, which I think truthfully exemplifies this trip to the wilderness so well, and it's the reason I'm wearing this tie, is the Cassini spacecraft. Models it quite nicely, actually. There's nothing more wild than outer space, and the more we learn about outer space, the more we understand that our minds literally cannot grasp the physics behind so much of it. And so the Cassini spacecraft, which went out to Saturn in the late 90s, and arrived there 7 years later in 2004. It's been traveling around for 13 years, taking pictures, encountering this world that we don't know, that we don't understand, and sending back images. And the most poignant one, the most powerful one, I think, is that one. It's pretty famous that Cassini sent back of the rings, and you see that small blue dot of Earth in the background, which opens our hearts up to something incredibly humble and something incredibly precious. That's Cassini's wilderness trip and the boon that it offers back to us. And a reminder that all of us are invited and encouraged to make those same travels, whether it's to far-off lands in the world or to far-off lands only a few feet away. Thanks be to God. Amen.